Bless your hearts. There's going to be one, though. It's going to be after this world's over with. When God calls everybody up for judgment, he's going to wipe this out by fire. Oh, I forgot. That's not the one they're talking about, is it? Let me tell you how you know a con when you hear one. If it's going to cost you money to fix it and not the person who says the problem's there, that's the con. And if it don't make sense, go look right behind it. There's a dollar hiding back there somewhere. It's your dollar. Yeah. I don't care if you're on a car lot, a boat lot, or whatever you own. That's always the case. And that applies to life and all that. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. As we look at in Mark chapter 13, we get over to a chapter that deals with the servant's eschatology. And eschatology means the study of end times. And as he starts to go into this thing and say what he says about this, he gets asked a question. And then, of course, he starts dealing with the answer and everything. The key verse is verse 9, which we'll read in our reading here in just a minute. 37 verses, 828 words, all inspired by God, kept forever in our King James Bible. This chapter in particular at a 6.3 grade level. And as we look at verse 1, we're going to start reading there. And as he went out of the temples, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to preach to you today on a very simple thing out of a very difficult passage. It's the most simplest truth that's right in front of you. Here it is. Times change, people never do. That's right there in the text. Times change, people never do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, God, while we're here. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work amongst us today. God, that you'd help us. Lord, show us the great things from Scripture, according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, as we look towards the preaching itself, help me as I preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be it in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look in this chapter today, when I say times change but people never do, I'm not referring to individuals but rather to humanity as a whole. You in your lifetime, no matter how long or short that lifetime has been, you've seen people that's gotten worse out of nowhere that were not used to be like that. But then you've seen people get better. I'm not talking about saved or lost. I'm not getting better or getting worse. There are people right now that I went to high school with that are homeless. They're homeless because of a drug called meth. Isn't that something? How do you get 52 years old and that stupid? Do you know what they make that stuff out of? When your manager at Walgreens told me what they made it out of, I said, seriously, people buys that and smokes that? He wasn't talking about what was in the pharmacy. He was talking about what was on the cleaning aisle. Did they not teach people about Mr. Yuck? Little green sticker you put on everything so children know that's bad. It's he looked like that. Nasty, ugly-looking creature look like he's going at you. Don't touch that. Bad. Amen. The way you teach children things are bad, you tell them it's bad. I taught my kid, we was out in public years ago when he was about 4 or 5, 6 years old and didn't mind to just scream things out in public. I told him, I'd say, liquor, bad. And he'd say, liquor's bad. Beer, bad. Beer's bad. Let's go over it again. They'd get our food out there as quick as they could. But that ain't why I done it. I done it because they'd get all sideways to me, but not the cute little boy. Teach your children cute things like that. Because see, now he's grown up knowing liquor's bad, beer's bad. You know why that is? Because liquor's bad and beer's bad. I didn't know till after I done got saved, quit everything, got saved, that what alcohol does to your body is it poisons you. And I thought, man, if I'd have known that, I'd just drink rat poison or something. Just cut the chase. Cut all them peoples out. Yeah. Not really, but I'm saying, you know. That's what you're doing to yourself. And I thought, man, everybody should know this. And I went and looked on the internet, and everybody but me knew that. Well, you didn't. I didn't. I heard you so, like you were volunteering. But it's one of them things, right? It's one of them things. You live and you learn. But listen to this. Some people get better. Some people get worse. As much as I preach against Alcoholics Anonymous, I know one guy right now that he claims he's still a drunk 35 years later. He ain't drunk a drop in 35 years. One guy. He ain't been on and off the wagon, getting his coins, losing his coins, all that. One guy I know has done extremely well. The rest of them, I couldn't tell you this morning whether they're in or out. One guy's done good. You say, I've known people that's gotten worse, known people that's gotten better. You know people's got worse. You know people's gotten better. But as we look at our text today, we are faced with two inevitable facts, and one of them is that times change. Look down at verse 1. Times change. In verse 1, and as he went out of the temple, it says, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. You see, the buildings people brag on change. They change. Can you imagine walking up to God Almighty and bragging on bricks that man had put together and mortar that man had mixed to make something beautiful when he made all the stuff they made with and the guy that made it, he made him too? I don't think you're going to impress Jesus with a building, is what I'm saying. Now, before I sound like a contemporary preacher, let me back up and say this. All churches meet in buildings. Very few of them meet outside, except when they're going to do drive-in theater ministry or something back when the 2020 was on. I didn't like that. You know why? It was cold out there. I won't be in here. And by the way, here's an inevitable fact. Times change. The very crowd that's begging you to come back now is the very crowd that was bragging on their buildings just 2 short years ago. And their programs. How we got a big youth thing and we got Nintendos at every desk and the youth class and all this other stuff. If that's what gets you to church, you ain't coming for a whole lot. I've heard people say, well, just come to one service is all you got to come to. If I went to it, I would backslide on God to get there because I have to step down as my role as a pastor to go to see some kind of rock band play Christian-ish songs, and I'm not going to do that. Amen. Not going to fool with that. I've been to one of them things before. I ain't fooling with it again. Listen to me. If I want to go to a place where the stage is up on high and you got the windows blocked out and they got a logo for the current promotion or whatever, I'll go see AC/DC in their new concert if I did such things. Don't tell me there's any difference in them, because there's not. I just described to you their concert venue. I went and looked it up last night. I know, how do you tour when you're 75 years old? I have no idea, but they're probably listening to Mick Jagger, because I understood he was walking through Charlotte today and nobody recognized him. He had to tell people who he was. Say, well, why is that? Well, when you're 100 years old and people still looking at your pictures when you're 20, there's going to be a little bit of difference there. I ain't making fun of them. I'm just the fact you get old. I walked into, what's that place up there, the Tractor Supply? I walked right into a guy I went to high school with. He looked at me and I looked at him. We both had beards. We never had beards last time we seen each other, but his was cool. He had that mustache that does this. I'm telling you. And I look at him and he said, are you shocked the guy had a beard? I said, not at all. With that mustache, boy, that's kicking. I like that. You just never know, do you? But you get older, things change. But as time goes on, times change, and the buildings they brag on change. Can I point out to you who said that? Master, look at this great building we have. Out of those 12 guys, one of them called him Master every time he opened his mouth. Oh, that'd be the guy that betrayed him while he's calling him Master. That'd be Judas Iscariot bragging on the buildings and not on the builder. Isn't that something? And it says about that in verse 2, and Jesus answering said to him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And this is a prophecy of the destruction of the temple under Titus in A.D. 70. It happened just like he said. You go looking at the Bible, as far as all the books in the Library of Congress up there, this one contains more fulfilled, accurate prophecies than any book in the world. And knowing that, we brag on these buildings, we brag on our building programs. I read where this the disciples told that temple, they knew that had been a 46-year building program of Rome to pacify the Jews. Man. That's the first Green New Deal, wasn't it? Ain't that something? It gets worse, though. Before I move on and say this, Dr. Carter told me of a church that he attended. He was a member somewhere else in some other state. I'm not even sure what the name of the church was, but I know they run in the thousands. They had a big old gym that could play two basketball games at once. They had a Christian school K through 12 on and on, 14 buses running bus routes. That's constantly buying gas, fixing buses, getting people in there. So they baptized minimum 100 people every Sunday. Minimum. Be careful how you brag on them buildings. Even this one. You know what that church is now? If you drive up to it right now, you wouldn't even recognize it. It's a Muslim mosque. They didn't put a dome on top of it and all that. So what happened? Oh, I don't know what happened, but I know who did it. The same devil would like to rip your heart out right now and tell you all Christians are bad, go join another religion. Anyone but the right one. How about this? How about just join a shade of the one you are, a different shade? See, that's what the devil does. I heard you say in Sunday school, and I picked up on this, it's not so much you in the wrong place, you're not in the right place sometimes, and that's when the sin comes in. And what we have is we got people today who don't realize that times change and these buildings they brag on change. Do you know, since I've been pastor of this church, I have had, I think it's three or four next big thing churches in town? And here's the outline. Old church, old building, at least 100, 150 people, and we get a tall, thin, good-looking young man as the pastor that all you women can just lust over. But wait, there's more. Don't feel left out, men. His wife is a sex symbol herself, and she'll let you know it by the clothes she wears. And before long, they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, they got to come check her. Come see that church, too. And before long, they've got members from north side, south side, east side, and west side that swore out the carpets in the last big thing. Now they're coming to this one, and they're going to build a building. They're going to build a parking lot. They're going to build a gym. It's going to be great. And then the devil that put him there snatches his feet out from under him. And while he's snatching that side, he's pulling the covers off the bed of who he's sleeping with. Happens just like that every time. And the crazy thing is, I was in the emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning one night. A member here's sister was laying there dying, fell out of her job. She's walking out the door, boom, fell out. They got her down there. And the craziest thing happened. They called me and said, "Will you come pray? We can't get Reverend Wonderful." I said, "Where's he at? We don't know." Got down there to the hospital. I thought, I went in there and talked with the nurses and everybody. This is pre-COVID rules where you have to go in the hospital. And I went in there, went to the ICU, sat there in the emergency room and looked at that lady. And I knew looking at her, she was not going to make it. They were keeping her alive with machines. I didn't say anything about it. I sat there and prayed with them, prayed with the family, prayed with the nurses, doctor come in, prayed with him, and was just waiting for the inevitable. But then he showed up. You should have seen the heart. It's like having Elvis walk in a building. Here comes Reverend Wonderful. And he prayed. And he prayed. I even had somebody punch me and say, "Listen how he prays." I don't pray like that. That's fake. Fake. I promise you, when he walked out of the room, she died. I want to walk over to that person and say, "What happened to Reverend Wonderful? I thought he was going to raise her from the dead after that. I didn't know what was going on." Come to find out, him and no TV preacher in the world's ever performed that miracle. Right. It's okay. You might have been a member of that church. I don't know. I don't know where you come from. But I know this, times change, and the talks about the end times change. Check this out. Look at verse 3 and 4. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately." Notice Judas is no longer with them. Now he'll tell them some things. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" Now, let's address the elephant in the room. Somewhere during the course of your life, you've heard that Jesus was coming. You heard that? Mm-hmm. Heard that the end times are coming? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me give you some dates to go with them thoughts. This is the predicting dates for the last 1900 years since Jesus has ascended to heaven. Rome's been sacked over there. There's been two more world powers since. Seventh-day Adventist founder William Miller predicted the world would come to the end as Christ come back April 23rd, 1843. You guessed it. He didn't show up, so he'd done the same prediction for October 23rd, 1844. And to cover that lie after he got caught the second time was, he came back spiritually. Nice. And they still don't get it. The Jehovah's Witnesses founder, Charles Taz Russell, who prior was a Seventh-day Adventist, remember Ellen White that wrote all the books with Adventists? He followed her. He started his own cultic crowd, I guess, sometime shortly thereafter when things went a little south. And listen how good he is. He predicted the Lord would return in 1878, 1881. Then his predecessor, whatever you call him, 1914, 1918, 1925. And the new crowd tried to do it in 1975, and Jesus didn't show up at none of them. You might be familiar with the May 21st, 2011 Harold Camping prediction off the Mayan calendar, but you probably forgot he said the same thing in 1994, missed then too. Do you know he still has people following him and still has millions of dollars coming in a year? Okay, fool me once, you know. Mormon founder Joseph Smith, not to leave out the Mormons, told his leaders in 1835 that Jesus would return in 56 years. You add 56 to 1835, and you come up with a number, and you subtract that from 2022, is it? That was 131 years ago he missed that. They miss all kind of things, don't they? Now, here's a good one. 700 Club TV host Pat Robertson, Mr. End Times himself on TV, in May of 1980, not that he's this fragile old man you've been seeing the last 10 years, May of 1980 when he wasn't, said judgment on the entire world would come by the end of 1980. Okay. Wonder what he said to cover that up, because they still have millions of followers. When he started talking that Y2K stuff, there was somebody told me, he said, you need to watch 700 Club. I said, I quit watching that years ago. I was told if they said something didn't come to pass, there's a false prophet. Ain't that something? We had people trying to sell 55 gallons of water and barrels of food out here in the parking lot to go run them off. I thought Y2K was in the world and they was the new Noah. Where is your art, people? Where is your animals at? And no, your little dog don't count as all the animals in the world. You got to have two of each, remember? And then, on top of all this, 1997, a San Diego radio show talked about the Hale-Bopp comet that was coming. And so Marshall Applegate and the Heaven's Gate cult, Marshall claimed he was Jesus Christ. He convinced his followers to commit mass suicide in March 26, 1997, because that way spiritually they'd be taken up to that comet and whisked away to heaven. Ain't that crazy? Then, Richard Noon, the author of a book that came out in 1997, said, the title of this book is May 5th, 2000, Ice, the Ultimate Disaster. He said the world would end by being frozen completely solid. And I know you're sitting there biting the tongue to say, yeah, but I watched Nostradamus on a VHS cassette. I got a pick-a-flick video years ago. He's a real prophet. Nostradamus said, quote, the year 1999, seventh month, from the sky will come the great king of Terra. Strike out again. All this shows you they've been saying this for a while. The talks about end times have changed. During World War I, everything you can find written back then claims the Lord's coming. And when he didn't, they thought, what's going on? What's going on? But when World War II came, oh, that was it. These bankrupt, listen, these bankrupt tongue-flapping TV preachers was on the radio then. That's all you could hear was how the world was coming to an end. This is the war. This is the big one. And two bombs later, the whole thing was over. Isn't that something? Now, I told you there's two inevitable facts. Times change, right? Number two, people never do. Now, out of all these people we just spoke of, there's a worse crowd coming. And you'll notice under verse 5 down here, it says, and Jesus answering them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. When I say people never do, as general humanity as a whole, some will always be deceivers. The command of be not deceived is reiterated in Ephesians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 John 3, 7. It's accompanied by the commands, be not deceived, let no man deceive himself. And ain't that something? Don't deceive yourself. You can read something in the Bible and think God gave you something new, and it probably isn't. Right. Just like that whole end of the world crowd. The guy from the Seventh-day Adventist was a farmer that read his Bible and thought, well, if you add this number up and this number up, he's coming back. No, he's not. When Jesus said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, he meant every man from Adam until the last man breathes his last breath. The only one that knows that's God the Father, and he ain't telling nobody. Yep. That's an easy one to figure out there. Be it Pat Robertson, Joseph Smith, Charles Tazra, if they give a date, discount them. They're done. Amen. They've been done a while, probably. But Jesus said also in verse 6 about these people being deceivers, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. and shall deceive. How? What is that? Few or many? Watch this. There are a list of people I got here that I looked up, and I'm only going to give you five of them. Number one is Sun Young Moon. Probably never heard of him, but if you ever been to the airport prior to 9/11/2001, there's these strange peoples in the airport, and they had tambourines, shaved heads, and wore a white dress. Hala, na da 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 da. Brother Fay knows, you know, you saw him. '19/20 to 2012, when he died, believed that by members of the Unification Church, they thought he's the Messiah and second coming of Christ, fulfilling Jesus' unfinished mission. I don't think they got that part where Jesus said, "It is finished."
Right.
That means what it says. There's no dual interpretation. There's one interpretation. It is finished. You say, well, we don't have to worry about that crowd here. Well, half of you knew what I was talking about when I mentioned them goofy people in airports. How about this? I'm sitting in a Chinese restaurant in Spartanburg, and a lady comes in trying to sell me silver spoons. I got to looking at her and looked at him. I said, silver spoons? Ah, very good spoon for you. I said, what church you go to? Because she kept saying she's selling it for a church. H-Mong Alliance. What's that? Them. Oh, wait a minute. Y'all drove by, right by that church, going over where Kmart used to be and all them places over there. Mm-hmm. Right there. And if you've been to the Beacon, you rode by one of the Baptist churches that gave into a guy named Sweet Daddy Grace that pushed this same stuff. Oh, we've had them come through this area. Oh, yes. How about everybody claims that this guy, he used to be a Baptist, it says, but he wasn't. His name is Jim Jones. Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He's the founder of what was called the People's Temple. He organized a mass murder-suicide in Jonestown, Guyana, November 18, 1978, claiming they were moving out of the way where the Lord could come, and he was Christ, and he knew all this, right? He shot himself after the murders were done. And if that ain't bad enough, I heard this man on a video say it on an interview with Geraldo. And Geraldo sits down and says to Charles Manson, "Charlie, just who are you?" Manson, with a swastika cut in his forehead by a pocket knife, stringy hair, big old long beard, looked right at him and said, "I am Jesus Christ, boy." I had chills go me when he said, "I thought that man is nothing but evil." Do you know that he went to prison and died in prison and never heard a soul of those crimes? So why'd he die in prison? Because they had the death penalty off the table the year they had his trial. Or he had got electrocuted in 1975. Now, Manson was not a religious man, a church leader, nothing. In fact, they list him as three things: an American criminal, a cult leader, and a songwriter. Say, somebody, he wrote songs? Yeah, Guns N' Roses did one of his songs. Ain't that something? Why would you give a guy like that royalties on a song sitting in prison like that? Unless you deranged like he is. It's crazy, man. And then, of course, you know about David Koresh, right? Have you ever heard of Vernon Wayne Howell? Y'all ever heard of him? That's who David Koresh is. David is King David, and Koresh was king in the Bible in Hebrew. Fake name, fake Christ. And he was the leader of what's called the Branch Davidian religious sect in Waco, Texas. By the way, just for the record, I think he's completely nuts. He wasn't Jesus Christ like he said. But Janet Reno and Bill Clinton need to pay up for what they did to them people. They were the ones fired into that place and caused them to fire back, which caused all the problem. Go watch the video. Then there was this guy came along, Todd Kincannon, born in 1981. He was arrested in 2018 for killing and mutilating his mother's dog. He claimed to the police that he was the second coming of Jesus Christ and that God had told him to do it. Because every 1,000 years there needs to be a sacrifice and blood must be spilt. He's the former head of the South Carolina Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Nobody's exempt from having crazy in them.
Right.
Just when you think you found a good thing, there's somebody like that. Listen to this. With all this going on, some of them's going to be deceived. There's always going to be people deceived. Look at verse 7. Some will always be destructive. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Wars and rumors of wars. Let me think here. How many of you ever heard that America's not mentioned by name in Bible prophecy? All of us. But did you know that all these nations that's now here are not mentioned in Bible prophecy either? They're referred to in symbols and types, but never as actually by name. Do you see that wars and rumors of war business? If you can't see the United States there, let me convince you. I'll read you these, and you tell me about wars and rumors of wars when we get done with this list, okay? All right, the Revolutionary War, 1775 until 1883. So that's a long time. Yeah, we kept fighting that one for a while. Here's another good one. The War of 1812 predictably started in 1812, lasted 3 years to 1815. The Indian Wars, which started about 1817 and went all the way through to 1898. The Mexican War, 1846 to 1848. Then the Civil War, 1861 to 1885. And then the Spanish-American War, 1898 to 1902. World War I, 1917-1918. World War II, 1941 to 1945. Here's one that'll get you. The Cold War, 1947 to 1989. Remember, Russia was the bad guy and we were the good guy? The Korean War, 1950 to 1953. Who was the opponent? Was it North Korea? Wrong, it was China. The Vietnam War, 1964 to 1975. Do you know that when we pulled out of Afghanistan, that beat the record that was in 1975 called the Fall of Saigon? It was almost as bad. And you wonder how Jimmy Carter got elected? That's how he got elected. Now listen to this. Watergate had nothing to do with it. I believe it's the Fall of Saigon. Then that was the salt on top of the French fries. Now listen to this. Vietnam, was our enemy North Vietnam again? No, it was China again. How about that? They just keep showing up and we just keep buying stuff from them. I'm like Trump. Let's cut every one of them off, put our oil back out, and cut their pipeline off that Joe Biden signed to open up. Be Americans again. We've done a whole lot more with emissions than we did then. Then after 1975, we kind of had a break going with that Cold War thing going all the way up to 1989. You know, it's still in the background. So we got back into it in 1990 and 1991 with two things called Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And then, of course, in your lifetime, we've been fighting the War on Terror. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a serious question? Do you really think we're fighting terrorists or are we just over making military stuff and padding people's pockets up there in Washington? I never saw no white flags go up. Can I tell you something else? I don't know if he's a real person or not, but we never saw the dead body of Osama bin Laden, whether it was shot or not. Right. Ain't that something? Too much stuff surrounds all that, don't it? Sounds like there's big money to be made in that. And why is there big money? What's the largest fast food company in the world?
McDonald's.
You know what McDonald's is? Silly, it's a real estate company. Ray Kroc went around buying up property, put a store there, put that little magic hamburger and whatever in 15 minutes or 10 minutes, get them out the door, you know, learn fast food, and then he would sell that to somebody locally for megabucks. They'd get it, they'd pass it down to the family, sell it to somebody else. It's all about real estate. You ever notice they talk about fast food wars? How about this? Wars are always fought over real estate. Wonder what the next war we're going to have. That's all I've got after the war on terror. We're supposed to be at peace now, right? Well, we can't have that. Somebody said, we'll go against Russia. You mean you would let those same generals that pulled out of Afghanistan go against Russia? Have you lost your mind? I don't think we're thinking about this stuff like we ought to, so we can't be praying right about it. So what kind of prayer we need to have? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Listen to this. Some will always be distressed. Next verse, verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now, Germany started invading countries because somebody went in office promising people everything, paved all the roads in there, and all the Germans got behind the what party again? Nazi party. Trump's a fascist. Remember him saying that? No, Mussolini was a fascist. You disagree with him, they'd lob your head off in a public street. You disagree with Hitler, they'd put you on your knees and shoot you in the back of the head. There wasn't no opposition from the other parties. They crushed them out. And then the craziest thing, they started invading all these European countries because Pinky, we're going to take over the world. That's what it's every time. Yeah, every time I read about a dictator, I think about them two little silly things. That's what they're modeled after. And then right after that, something happened and that didn't work out. So we had to have a new bad guy. And somewhere there after that, Russia started invading neighboring countries and formed what was known as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. And to show you what kind of communists we had on our soil, the Beatles remade Chuck Berry's Back in the USA and called it Back in the USSR. Oh, you didn't know? Wait a minute. Did you know if you go down to Cuba, to the capital out there, and walk in the park, there's a statue of John Lennon that's been there since 1970. They don't love him because he's a Beatle. They love him because he's a communist. Ain't that something? Remember that whole song about the world live as one and all that? He's talking about communism. Imagine there is no heaven. It isn't hard if you try. Because that's all people's doing nowadays. They're playing games and imagining things. So you got that thing there with Russia becoming the USSR. Then according to those who study earthquakes, from 1904 until this year, the earthquakes that are 7.5 magnitude or more have increased in that time. It steadily went up. Ain't that something? And some people will always be delivered. Look at verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever you shall be given you in that hour, speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So some people will always be delivered up to these people wanting to stamp out Christians. Now, here's a crazy thing you've probably never heard of. Maybe you have. Remember we brought up old Adolf a while ago? Now listen to me. Millions of Jews died over there. Did you know millions of handicapped people went with them? That means if they would have conquered this country, when we'd had Justin, they'd have put him to death. When we'd had Jenna, death. And you want to tell me he's misunderstood? Nah, I got him. I know exactly what he was. He is full of the devil.
That's right.
Now listen to this. People like that, They have a superior race in mind. And guess what? It ain't you. Because the only thing he hated more than them Jews was Americans. We weren't pure. See how that works? You ain't wide enough. Remember Jesse Jackson saying about Obama on live TV? He ain't black enough. That ain't what BLM said. The founder married a white man. Does that make her not white enough? Oh, by the way, I got a news report for you. They lost $40 million. They don't know where it went. Hillary Clinton's law firm was handling that $40 million. Now, all of a sudden, she's got money to run for president with. I know. You can't believe half this stuff. You're thinking, that has got to be something a comedian told. Well, if it's a comedian, they told it on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and all that. Ain't that a sight? So since Christ ascended this world, it's seen its share of Christians being put to their death by people who just hate God for some reason. Why? Because they want to take over the world. Every case where there's a mass killing of Christians, you can always look behind it, is a dictator sitting back there claiming he's Jesus or wanting to take over the world. And then, there's always going to be people dying. It says in verse 12, now the brother shall betray the brother to death. Have we ever seen that before? I think it was the week I graduated high school, the week you graduated, one or the other. There's two boys broke in on an old woman, cut her head nearly off, killed her. Well, when the police rounded them up, one turned on the other, and guess what the other guy sitting in jail going to get? Betraying him to death. You say, he shouldn't have crime. Well, let's look at it a different way. When they come rounding up you, and that'll eventually happen, you going to tell on your brother in Christ? Well, I might be a Christian, but they won too. You know, like using the principal office, you rat snitch. You do know snitches get stitches, right? Tell them, Brian. And get dumped in ditches. But it'll be God doing all that. Because if I'm reading correctly, brother to brother to death means we're not going anywhere past that. We're dying. And then he says, the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. So I don't think that ever happened. Have children rose up against their parents? Let me ask you this question. Does the date August 12, 2005 mean anything to you two? It should, because that's the day that the Children's Emancipation Act was signed into law. You can be, listen, there is a catch, okay? Most ages for that thing is 18. California's 14. Child stars. Parents ripping them off. Shirley Temple law. Now, here's where the funny part is. They are some doofuses that either hear or watching through that thing think, I'm going to do that to my old man, old lady. Oh, please go to, listen, please look at the requirements you got to have when you go to court. You know what one of them is? You got to have a job and an apartment and pay your bills for 3 months with receipts before they'll even take your case. It'll never make it to court. That whole smoking pot, drinking, laying out and getting fussed at and don't like it, you need to behave. Tell you what, listen, I was around my 70 then 80 year old grandpa. He didn't put up that in his house. He'd beat you to death with his walking stick. Didn't show up at the old man's house high even after I was older. They didn't play that stuff. Here's the deal. You think you can make it? Get a job, get an apartment uptown, and show us how to do it, honey. Because I'm be willing to bet this, you won't make the 3 months. Well, I got married to a dude. He told me what to do, so I quit. You got to do it without no financial assistance. Either y'all ready to take on the world, Darren? Children rising up against parents. And you thought Walmart was bad. This is serious court stuff I'm telling you about. What in the world's going to happen? Listen, what in the world's going to happen when they say, are your parents Christians? They say, uh-huh. And they haul them off. I guess you have to emancipate right quickly then, won't you? But you'll never make it then either. Because they ain't going to keep you up. Listen to this one. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Jesus points out nobody's going to like you. Not some people. All of them's not. And you know what happened to this crowd he's talking to? If you go back up here and you look at verse 3. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. He tells them in particular that ye shall be hated for all men for my name's sake. Mark is the servant's gospel, so he don't give all the details that the others give, but a servant don't need all the details. A servant needs this detail. What do you want me to do? Not give me the information why, just tell me what to do. It presents Jesus as a servant. The servant is speaking to Jewish people. They ask him what the end times are going to be. So if you think everything I've told you right now is bad, wait till this church rapture's out of here, and then you're going to see every bit of that in 7 years' time. And it's going to be far worse than it is now. Earthquakes in diverse places. Can you say tsunami? You think those have been bad? Wait till God starts dropping Volkswagen-sized hail on this earth, over the whole earth at the same time. Wait till he starts turning the water into something they can't bottle or purify. And we get to looking at all that, and he's talking to not a church. He's talking to Jews. And he says at the last part of that verse, but he that shall endure that end shall be saved. Here's where we're going. Church is rapturing out of here. These Jews will face this thing as a nation, as a people, for 7 years. Listen, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 30 says that that's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. Trouble's coming. These people say, we replaced you. You ain't replaced nobody. You ain't a good placement for yourself. Listen, we have not replaced the Jew. God's going to deal with them again. But do you really want to take a chance that you'll get out of here today alive? You trying to scare us? No, I'm just pointing out a simple fact. Me and my wife went to a funeral a while back, and I forgot whose funeral it was, but I'll never forget what happened. Well, we were sitting where she's sitting right now. Woman kills over three rows in front of us. Now, I thought the preaching was bad. It wasn't that. She had a heart attack. And I'm sitting there watching this. I was like, this ain't a Pentecostal church. This is a Baptist church. Somebody come get this woman. You know, if they fall out, nobody knows what's going on. Friend of mine went to service over in New York. Guy's up there preaching, blump. And when he hit, you could see his head sticking outside. A friend of mine said, he said, y'all need to call the mortician up here. Oh, no, he's just slain in the spirit. No, he was dead as a doorknob. Can't trust all that. What you can trust is this. When Jesus put his apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, out there, he said this, I'd rather speak 5 words in a known language than how many in an unknown language again? Thousands? Wonder what them 5 words would have been. I believe I know when Jesus said them. Would you like to know what them words are? Ye must be born again. There's where we're at. You ain't going to endure the end to be saved. It's talking about Jews.
Right.
We're talking about salvation by grace through faith right now. Why wait another second? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.